The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 16, verses from 19 to 31. It's on page 123. Allow me to read the words of God. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tips of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." So Father Abraham, "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead." Amen. When Jacob reached Shechem on his way back home, Beersheba, moving on from the 20 years spent at the house of Laban, his mother's brother, God told him to go up to the Bethel and build an altar there. Jacob swore to God that he will serve God as his Lord, make his life as the God's temple, and offer the tithe if God allowed him a safe return when escaping Esau's threat for Haran. But Jacob completely forgot, and God reminded him of the fact. Building the altar was like a revival of Jacob's family. And there was this funeral in Genesis 35:8. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak between Bethel. So it was named Allen-Bacuth. When Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, she was buried under the oak, and the tree was named Allen-Bacuth. Allen-Bacuth means an oak of wailing. The Bible does not testify how Rebekah, a master of this nurse, died. But regarding the death of the nurse, a servant in fact, the Bible says the whole family of Jacob mourned. Thinking Deborah, the name of Rebekah's nurse, first reminds us of someone else. The book of Judges is featured with 12 judges, from Othniel to Samson. The fourth and the only female judge among them was Deborah. Isaac couldn't get married until turning 40 years old. It is quite common now getting married at the age of 40, but most of men and women tie the knot before 20 at the time. So Abraham called him old servant who took care of managing his possessions and asked him to go to Haran, his home, and find match for his son Isaac. But he said it should be someone who was willing to follow. The servant went approximately 800 kilometers by walk and arrived at Beersheba in Haran around at dusk. Then women came to draw water. The servant prayed, "I will recognize a woman as Isaac's match when she gives water not only to me, but when asked, but also to a camel." Even before finishing the prayer, Rebecca showed up holding the water jar, and she was a granddaughter of the younger brother of Abraham. As the prayer of the servant, Rebecca gave water to the camel as well. Everything went so smooth, and Rebecca told him to follow. So when the family sent Rebecca, was like Genesis chapter 24, verses 59 and 60 as follows. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase to thousands upon thousands. May your offspring possess the cities of their enemies." When sending Rebecca, her family, including Bethuel, Rebecca's father, and Laban, her brother, sent her nurse along with her. The word nurse indicates it seems that the nurse breastfed Rebecca. If Rebecca was in her late teens at the time, the nurse can be estimated in her early to mid-30s. The nurse might have seen Rebecca getting married with Isaac and Beersheba. This couple had no child for the first 20 years and had Esau and Jacob when Isaac turned 60 years old. So the nurse must have witnessed Esau and Jacob grow up and how Isaac and Rebecca favored them respectively. She also might have watched Jacob and Rebecca fold Isaac. After all, Jacob had no option but to leave for Haran, his mother, Rebecca's home, due to the conflict with his brother Esau on the birthright. When sending Jacob, Rebecca said, "Stay there for a couple of days until your brother releases his anger." But such a couple of days, repeated countless times until it became 20 years. Also, Rebecca sending Jacob became the last moment seeing him. The nurse of Rebecca was literally the witness of what happened in Jacob's family. It is unknown either this nurse came along when Jacob first went to his uncle's home, or it was when Leah or Rachel gave birth. But it is true that there was Deborah's help when Jacob had his children in a series. Among the sons of Jacob, it is only Benjamin who was born after Deborah died. This means that Deborah must have seen 12 children from Reuben to Joseph and Dinah being born and taken care of them. Among 12 sons who comprised Israel, 11 grew up in the care of Deborah. Deborah's role was so important that the whole family was in grief when she died. They wept so hard that the name of the tree under which she was buried was named an Oak of Wailing. God allowed the name of a woman to stand out because God remembers our name and He calls our names. Today's scripture also testifies a name that God remembers. In verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. There was a rich man who was called a millionaire or a billionaire. His gowns were in purple and the linens were fine. The purple dye that came from crustaceans such as shellfish, oyster, shrimp, and crab was used to make purple clothes, which were worthy of what a man could save for a year without spending a penny. Such a cloth was something that only royal or noble family and rich people could afford. And the fine linen was made from the Egyptian linen. Although there were several kinds of linens at the time, the adjective fine suggests that it was a high-end worthy of double the price of gold. Pharaoh's Egyptian kings were wrapped with this linen when died. Joseph was sold by his brothers to be a slave for Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. He worked hard there, but was put in a jail under a false accusation. After helping two officials of Pharaoh with interpretation of their dreams, he became an administrator of the superpower of Egypt. The linen that the Pharaoh put him on was the fine linen. This rich man wore such an outfit. 20 years ago from now, a man who ran his own business unexpectedly showed me the suit he wore and said, "Pastor, this is quite old, but it costs 1.5 million Korean won. This is so good." I do not understand why he said that. The clothes of this rich man cannot be compared to this suit. It was 20 times more expensive, at least. A man who wears such an expensive cloth cannot eat every food. He should eat nicely set delicacies. Such a man cannot live in a humble house. It should be a luxury mansion like a palace. The verse 19 again. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. This rich man not only wore expensive clothes, but also had delicacies all the time, as we can expect. In luxury was originated from dazzling. He enjoyed sumptuous feast every day, bought things that are too splendid to watch, and wore clothes that make him feel proud even by others' touch. It was not a couple of times a year, but such a life went on day by day. He threw a party every day. There were five brothers of him, according to the verse 28. They also might be guests, those who were renowned in the fields of politics, economics, and academia would have been invited as well. It is almost impossible for ordinary people to throw a party every day with such guests. He has such a great wealth. There's another man who's starkly different than this rich man. In verses 20 and 21, at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. It is Lazarus who's in contrast to the rich man. He was not just a man who begs for food and eats when returning home. He has sores throughout his body. And such a man was abandoned at the gate of the rich man. The fact that he did not come by walk on his own and was abandoned by someone else means that he was a disabled person. No one knows who did that to Lazarus. Whether his parents gave him up and left, or it was his brothers thinking he's useless, or he was abandoned by someone who thinks he would not starve to death when thrown in front of a rich man's house. The Bible tells us nothing about it and just testifies that he was abandoned there. It wasn't true that Lazarus could earn a living by the leftover food shared by the rich man after the party. Instead, he fed himself with the food which fell from the rich man's table. There were no napkins or papers like today. There were no forks, spoons, or knives. Most of times, people used hands to eat food. Because of that, hands of the people got dirty frequently. Rich man would serve two loaves of bread on the table, and the guests cleansed their hands with the bread and threw them away. Lazarus picked them to eat. There are two more that show the extreme reality of Lazarus in verses 20 and 21. One is the fact that he was abandoned at the gate of the rich man. The gate could indicate those of the ordinary people, but also mean the gate of a temple or a palace. If the house of the rich man was large enough to invite people and hold luxurious party every day, its yards must have been well decorated and large, and the main gate to such a yard would have been more splendid than normal homes. There was a beggar with handicap and sores lying in front of the gate. How different are these? The other is the fact that the dogs came and licked his sores. When there's a sore in our body, it is very painful when being touched. Imagine that the wild dogs, not pets, came and licked the sores. It would be much more painful. Nevertheless, he was so weary to drive them away. In Korea, we also mention some names of animals to express how someone is bad and terrible. The Bible also compares someone who is lowly and awful to animals. In chapter 15, where a parable of the father who waited for his younger son who left him, the younger son was bold enough to leave his father with his inheritance, but became a pig hoarder in the end. Although he tried to have the pots for food, but no one even wanted to give him the pot. This was the bottom that man could even go down to. The reason that Jesus has the dogs appear in the story of Lazarus is the same. It is to stress that he experiences a great deal of pain and put in a miserable condition. In verse 22, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. The time came was used to mean, however, or in the meantime. What visited the life of these two at the same time was death. It is unclear whether the two died at the same time or not, but it seems Lazarus died first, as the beggar was mentioned earlier to die. And the rich man died as well soon after Lazarus died, but it is the same that both of them died. Not only the two, but also we all die. It is unchanging truth that all of us die in the end. When and where to die is also decided by only God. So the time could come many years later, or it could be today. To accept such a truth is faith and the wisdom of life. Even though the fact that Lazarus and the rich man died was the same, their funerals may not be the same. It's said that Lazarus died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, but a funeral was not mentioned. Maybe there was no one who mourned his death. Or maybe someone could say it could be better to die than live like this. His body could have been thrown away into a cemetery without a proper funeral. As more than 2,000 people die in Korea without family or friends every year, Lazarus, 2,000 years ago, also would have no family or friends. The life of Lazarus came to an end that way. It must have been completely different when the rich man died. Five brothers must have come, and a number of people who joined the parties he threw would have visited. People would have spoken at his funeral about how he was great and how much accomplishment he made. His large tomb must have been located at a great spot, That was the end of his life on the earth. And after death, something very different was happening. What was waiting for the death of Lazarus was Abraham's side, while it was the agony of the Hades which were waiting for the rich man. This part will be shared more in detail next week. There's one thing we should keep in mind. This rich man was not sent to the Hades because he was rich. It is neither mentioned that he made his fortune out of corruption or harmed others to earn it, nor he inherited a great legacy. Being rich was the only evaluation about him. Likewise, Lazarus was not carried into the side of Abraham because he was poor. It's because God never told that how much we have could lead to either eternal life or everlasting punishment. King David had not only fortune, but also the power. What appears the most following Jesus is David in the Bible. Jesus came to us as the descendant of this David. Joseph of Arimathea, who gave Jesus his tomb that had never been used, was rich as well. Lydia, the seller of the purple garment, who sold a purple textile for the richest clothes, also was rich. In accordance to the Genesis 14, there was a war raised among four city-states of the north and five city-states of the south in Canaan. And Lot, a niece of Abraham, who was no link with the war, was stripped of her possessions and became a prisoner. Then Abraham, along with his 318 private soldiers who stayed and were trained at his house, saved Lot. How much would it cost to train 318 soldiers at home? Abraham was such a rich man, but stays in heaven. How much you have does not decide between the way of everlasting life and the opposite. This rich man was so rich and enjoyed so many things that it seems he had never thought about God after death. Like the rich man who harvested a great amount of grain and built bigger warehouse to store the grain and say, I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and believe that his possession will protect him. The rich man in today's scripture might have not thought about the eternity due to what he had owned. On the contrary, Lazarus had a hard and painful life and was relying on God and had bigger hope for everlasting life. The same goes to our life. When something very delightful happens, we just say, thank you, God. And that's it in most cases. But when suffering from unbearable pain and trouble, we at last have an opportunity to think about what we should depend on. today's scripture shows something that the rich man does not have, but the beggar clearly has. That is the name. This parable is the only such kind in the New Testament that has the name in it. Have you ever heard of the name of the Samaritan who helped the man who was robbed on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho? Do you know the name of the shepherd who took part for a lost lamb, or the woman who swept the whole house to find the lost coin? In the parable of a prodigal son, the name of the father waiting for the younger son, the name of the older son, and even the name of the younger son is all unknown. Lazarus is the only name that appears in the Lazarus parable. Lazarus is Eleazar in Greek, which means God is my help. Without God's help, Lazarus could not survive even a day. Such a life could be carried into the sight of Abraham because God called him. The Lord calls the name of his people. Those who were called by the Lord could move on and lived a new life and walked a path completely different than that in the past. God found Moses, who left a splendid life at the palace and was living with his wife's family in the wilderness, and called out his name. Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. This calling turned Moses' life from a shepherd to a leader who led the exodus of the people of Israel. It also changed him from a husband who lived with his wife's family in a town of Midian into a God's man. For Saul, when he became Paul after living on his own belief, was an absolute truth as his motto. Resurrected God visited him and called out his name. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul asked in awe. Lord, who are you? I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. When God called the name of Saul, his life changed. Since then, Saul went to Damascus again, but for the completely different purposes. He went there to turn his back against the Lord in the past, but now for the Lord. The disciples followed Jesus and spent 3 years together. Even though they listened to the good words of God, their life never changed completely. The word of God was in their mind, but it never spread throughout their hearts and bodies. So the disciples turned back to their worldly life, despite the blood that Jesus shed on the cross for them. Particularly, Peter denied Jesus at a critical moment to defend himself. But Jesus found and visited him to call out his name. Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? Simon was Peter's original name. The calling of Jesus made Peter become an apostle. the word that he listened hundreds of times was accepted through his soul and life as the word of truth. And God, who's everlasting, so he became God's apostle who obeys the truth. There was a person who thought money was everything and money makes people to be confident. With money, people would treat him properly no matter how humble his job is and no matter how different his physical condition is, according to him. So he spent all his life for the unjust benefit. And Jesus called out his name, who was sitting on the sycamore fig tree. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." It was a watershed moment for the life of Zacchaeus. God wrote the name of beggar Lazarus in his book of life. He called out Moses, Paul, Peter, and Zacchaeus so that they could head for the way of truth and life. Such God now calls out our names. The Lord called our names who are dead due to faults and sins, and we became the people who earned an eternal life and are here today. Therefore, we are all the Lazarus who are saved by God's help. If we accept ourselves being Lazarus who was called by God, we would all walk the path of truth and life like Moses, Paul, Peter, and Zacchaeus, relying on God. It's your decision. Let us pray. I have a maker, he formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. Father God, we thank you for calling out each name of us. We used to think that rather than our names remembered by God, the more we had and enjoyed, the happier we would become even without a name like the rich man. So we were busy trying to have more and enjoy more. But we could end up dying while living such a life. But God called out our names and allowed us to open our eyes to the truth, life, and eternity. We thank you for that. When the Lord called the name of Moses, Paul, Peter, and Zacchaeus, they could live a totally different life than in the past. Help us to walk the path of truth and life with God as our driving force, as those whose names were called by God like them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.